Okay, it's 9:30. Let's like to get this finance committee. Was it?
You said 9:30.
Oh, it's 5:30. It's a twang I have. So it's 5:30. Let's get started. Like to approval of tonight's agenda. Is there a motion by Ms. Curran, second by Ms. Terminelli? Any discussion? Ms. Terminelli? Okay. Seconded by Mr. Haggard and Ms. Arquette. Any discussion on the withdrawal of this? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carried. And now on the approved agenda, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carried. Approval of the minutes of September 30th. Mr. Fay, seconded by Mr. Forsyth. Any discussion or changes? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carried. First up, for Highway, Mr. Chambers. Our first resolution is authorizing the chair to award and sign contracts for St. Lawrence County Bridge Preservation Project. Bins number 3340850, 3341310, 3341710, and 3341720 with pin number 775378. So moved by Mr. Nisa, second by Ms. Curran. Mr. Chambers.
Yes, thank you. This project we've been talking about quite a bit, had contracts for DOT for the funding. These bridges are on County Road 17, Town of Old DeKalb. We've got two in Town of Rossi, one on County Road 3, one on County Road 8, and the other is on County Road 46 in the Town of Messina. This is for a significant rehabilitation of these bridges, including new bridge rail, painting, new bearings, structural steel, rehab, joint replacement, deck repairs, and deck overlays. So the structures will be in considerably different shape when they're done. As you can see, it's a local contractor, J.E. Sheehan Contracting, for a little over $5.5 million.
Any questions for Mr. Chambers? All those in favor of the resolution, Mr. Perkins.
I'll be abstaining due to my employment.
Okay. So noted. Any other discussion? All those in favor of the resolution signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carried. And abstention from Mr. Perkins. I neglected to say that Mr. Arquette, Tony Arquette, is excused from tonight's meeting. Our second resolution is authorizing the chair to award and sign contracts for South Shore Road Bridge over Oswegatchie River, bin number 3340940, pin number 775371. So moved by Mr. Nisha, second by Ms. Curran. Mr. Chambers.
Yes, this project is scheduled to be awarded to Vector Construction out of Cicero, New York, for approximately $4 million. This structure is located on South Shore in the town of Fine. This is a dead end roadway, which will need us to install a temporary bridge. At this point, we are proposing to start construction on the project this year, with moving utilities, cutting the necessary trees, and starting on the temporary bridge abutments. And then the bulk of the project will be then done in the 2020 calendar year.
Any questions for Mr. Chambers concerning this resolution? Seeing none, all those in favor of the resolution signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carried.
Thank you.
Our next resolution is authorizing the chair to approve and sign a supplemental agreement, number 2, with Barton LeJudis, DPC, for construction inspection, CI, services for St. Lawrence County Bridge Preservation Project, bins number 3340850, 3341310, 3341710, and 3341720, PIN number 775378. Ms. Terminelli, second by Mr. Denisha. Mr. Chambers.
Yes, this is the project that we just spoke of on County Road 17, 3, 8, and 46, the bridge replacement project. This is the for the construction inspection. A lot of times the construction inspection is done by in-house staff. However, the in-house staff will be assigned to the Wanakina project down in the town of Fine that we just discussed. So we do not have the staffing available, and construction, a full-time construction inspection is required. This project would have required outside services due to the lead and asbestos abatement that's included in this project, so it made sense to have this one instead of the one in the town of Fine assigned to the outside consultant.
Any questions for Mr. Chambers concerning this resolution? Seeing none, all those in favor of the resolution signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carried.
Thank you.
And Mr. Perkins is abstaining again. Okay. Our next resolution is modifying the 2019 budget for Department of Highways for unanticipated increased appropriations. Mr. Burke, seconded by Mr. Denisha and Ms. Curran.
Yes.
Mr. Chambers.
Yes, during the design process for the South Shore Bridge in the town of Fine, we encountered some additional cost primarily associated with some of the environmental issues. This is in the park on a scenic waterway. So we had, as I said, we had some additional issues to address. One being a traffic study for the reconstruction of South Shore Road at River Street, retaining walls, and three additional impacted parcels that needed to be mapped and dealt with during the project.
Any questions for Mr. Chambers concerning this resolution? Seeing none, all those in favor of the resolution signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carried.
Thank you.
Our next resolution is modifying the 2019 budget for the Department of Highways for overtime. Mr. Burt, second by Ms. Arquette. Mr. Chambers.
Yes, in the 2019 highway budget, I'm anticipating that we will have overages in the overtime budget. Funds were put aside in contingency to deal with overtime. However, what I'm proposing is utilizing funds within the existing highway budget rather than going to contingency to address the overtime items. The majority of the overtime is in the maintenance, the HM3, which deals with snow plowing and other road maintenance items. The other two are traffic area for you know, when we're dealing with storm events or accidents, and the final is with the shop for the mechanics.
Any questions for Mr. Chambers concerning this resolution? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carried.
Thank you.
Next up, solid waste. Again, Mr. Chambers, the first resolution is modifying the 2019 budget for the solid waste department for overtime. Ms. Curran, second by Mr. Burt. Mr. Chambers.
Yes. Dealing with overtime, again, contingency is set aside for overtime. However, this is out of the contingency account within the department, not outside the department where other overtime would be accounted for. So this is within the existing 2019 budget, and we're proposing to take a little over $22,000 out of contingency within the department. We did have issues with additional work with the snow and ice issues with solid waste, getting the facilities open, and then also some significant military leave that also required us to pay some overtime.
Any questions for Mr. Chambers concerning this resolution? Seeing none, all those in favor of the resolution signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carried.
Thank you.
Our next resolution is modifying the 2019 budget for the Solid Waste Department for software and tipping fees. Moved by Ms. Curran, second by Mr. Denisha and Mr. Forsyth. Mr. Chambers.
Yes, this is again moving money within the existing solid waste budget, with the bulk of the money coming from the admin contingency account, which again is within the department budget. We have multiple areas in which we will run over with expenditures, and therefore again dealing with the increased fees and services needed within the budget.
Any questions for Mr. Chambers concerning this resolution? Seeing none, all those in favor of the resolution signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chambers. Mr. Forsyth, do you have a question for Mr. Chambers?
The transfer sites, do they take debit or credit card to make payment, or is it just cash or check?
At this point, it's just we're dealing with cash. That is an issue that we are currently dealing with,
okay,
with one of the software issues at this point. We are
okay, good,
making a move in that direction.
Yeah, the
right
other
now.
Day we were all scrambling, wondering if we hadn't. Yeah, okay.
Yes, sir. We understand. Thank you.
Anyone else for Mr. Chambers? Okay. Thank you, Don. So next up, we have Andrea Montgomery for the Office of Aging. The resolution is restoring nutrition site services to the Canton Housing Authority Senior Housing Complex and modifying the 2019 budget for the Office of Aging. Mr. Lightfoot, second by Ms. Arquette and Ms. Curran and Mr. Denisha.
Okay, so this resolution came to us obviously quite suddenly. I received notification from Canton Enriched Housing, which is operated by United Helpers, on October 19th that within 30 days they would be no longer staffing the site that provides nutrition services to approximately 55 people at the Canton Nutrition Center. It has been that way since 2011. They've had four staff members who work in their Enrich program who operate the site. Our food is distributed or brought to from DeKalb in bulk, and their staff deliver to the home delivered meal clients as well as provide the congregate services. I then was told on Monday that it was actually going to be closing as of November 1st, their last day. So we had to act quickly to try to figure out how we could continue to serve these 55 individuals who eat at this site every single day. Luckily, we did have that unmet needs funding. I had earmarked that for a few other resources, but knowing that this was a much more critical need for these folks. Many of them, this is the only meal that they have all day. And they were very worried and concerned. We went over there as soon as it was announced to reassure them that the county cared about them, because they feel left behind. They feel like they're not cared about. And that we would continue to provide some sort of service. My joke was, I don't know what the plan is. It might be me in a hairnet and some gloves serving the meal. They did ask if I could cook. They were a little concerned about that. I reassured them that, yes, I can cook, but this food would continue to be brought from DeKalb, and we would figure it out. Luckily, in speaking with our county administrator, she agreed that this was an urgent condition and that I needed to bring it forward to all of you immediately, and I'm really appreciative of this opportunity.
You probably should have pictures of that here now.
Yeah, absolutely, yes.
It comes to that.
There will be, yes, I'm sure.
Any questions for Ms. Montgomery? Mr. Burr.
Andrea, do we know why United Helpers withdrew?
I wasn't given a reason, but I do know when they closed their adult home, the reason was lack of reimbursement from state and federal resources. So I think enriched programs across the board are something that are in danger of closing. There was 14 residents that this impacted in Canton Housing, but I know that the reimbursement rate is low. I'm not 100% sure of what that is, but I have heard through the years that it's very low, and that's why United Helpers closed their adult home in Ogdensburg.
Mr. Fay.
Is this a temporary fix?
A temporary fix? No, we'd be looking to add this person to our roster and continue to operate it as one of our sites where we provide the staffing.
I think it's awful important because I was told some of these clients would end up in nursing homes. Am I right on that?
Yes, some of they were looking. So for the 14 residents, I know that 12 of them are going to remain in the housing with supports from United Helpers, aides and whatnot. Actually, we're going to be taking all of them on our home delivered. Those 12 that are staying, we're going to be including in our home delivered meals. So we're adding 12 to the mix from that. And then two others, I do believe, had nursing home placement. You're welcome.
Anyone else have questions for Ms. Montgomery? Seeing none, all those in favor of the resolution signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you, Andrea. Okay, next up is Community Services with Mr. Ulrich. The resolution is modifying the 2019 budget for Community Services for funding received from the Office of Alcoholism and Substance Abuse Services, OASIS, state aid funding, authorization, SAFA, is it SAFA or SAFA?
SAFA.
To St. Lawrence County as pass-through funding to approved agencies. Motion by Mr. Perkins, seconded by Mr. Lightfoot, Mr. Sheridan, and Mr. Haggard. Mr. Ulrich.
We had three downstream OASIS providers that requested and were granted additional state aid funds. Those were St. Joe's, who oversees Rose Hill, North Country Freedom Home, who has a 20-bed residential program, and then Seaway Valley Prevention, that has a myriad of prevention services within the county. So this resolution is to circle back around with those changes and to modify the budget to match the state aid letter.
Any questions concerning the resolution for Mr. Ulrich? Seeing none, all those in favor of the resolution signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jay. Next up, Ms. Terminelli, would you like to read your resolutions, please? Sure.
I bring to you a resolution urging renewed funding for electronic waste collection.
Is there a second? Second by Ms. Perkins, Mr. Curran, I believe Mr. Burke, and Ms. Arquette.
So this is one of three resolutions I'll be offering tonight. This one came from the Economic Development, Environment, and Energy Committee meeting from NYSAC that I'm now a committee member on. And this is just to urge the state to provide the funding back. Electronics companies are responsible for offering the opportunity for people to bring in e-waste to them, but oftentimes they don't offer it all the time, and the public is not well aware of it. So a lot of that e-waste ends up in our landfills, and we have to dispose of it properly, and so it becomes funded by municipalities and our own landfills. So this is just to urge the state to increase that funding again to help with environmental cleanup.
Any questions for Ms. Terminelli concerning this resolution? Do you know what the funding was, the amount previous?
No, I don't. And I do know that in our county, we don't have it's pretty minimum amount. I think it's 5,000. Is that what we had discussed that we allocate for it? And I'm not sure exactly what the funding was through the state. I could find that out for you.
Mr. Legault, can you speak to this? But you collect it there.
We do collect it.
Yeah.
Casella is also a collection site.
Any other questions? Seeing none, all those in favor of the resolution signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carried. Ms. Terminelli.
Okay, the second resolution is a resolution requesting relief amid an ongoing recycling crisis.
Seconded by Ms. Curran, Mr. Perkins, and Mr. Burke. Ms. Terminelli.
So another resolution that was passed at NYSAC on behalf of the Economic Development, Environment, and Energy Committee. This is just to request relief from the governor right now because of our recycling shortage. We have a lack of location to deliver our recycling to, and it makes it more difficult to figure out what to do with those products.
Okay. Any questions for Ms. Terminelli or Mr. Legault? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion carried. Ms. Terminelli.
And the last is from the Public Relations Employee or Public Employee Relations Committee. It's a resolution calling for the State of New York to allow for County Home Rule Authority regarding employment residency requirements.
Is there a second? Mr. Burke and Ms. Arquette, Ms. Curran. Ms. Terminelli.
Okay, so this resolution is there are certain jobs that must be filled within your county, obviously because of county taxpayer dollars funding those positions oftentimes. But as it becomes more difficult to find skilled employees for certain jobs, we're finding that oftentimes positions are sitting open for quite some time. So what this resolution would do is urge the state to allow counties to decide which positions should be have that home rule authority based on the labor pool that's available and the requirements of the position that's being recommended for.
Any questions for Ms. Terminelli concerning this resolution? Seeing none, all those in favor of the resolution signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Terminelli. Mr. Forsyth.
Yeah, it's just a question for Ms. Terminelli. We pulled the scaffold law off. Do you plan to come back with it, or just?
Yes, I'm going to do a little bit more research and see where labor stands, where construction companies stand, just to see a little bit more. This also came out of NYSAC, and it was unanimously voted for. But I would like to just speak to local people and see what their input is on it. New York State is the only state that still has a scaffold law. Most of these regulations come from federal mandates now.
Yeah, makes it very hard for insurance carriers to provide coverage.
Yeah.
Do we have one on the books already from Joe LaPierre passing that?
We reference it, yes, in 15.
Okay.
Yep.
Before that?
Yes, we do.
All right. Any other questions for Ms. Terminelli? Okay. So next up, with the Vacancy Review Committee, we have Highway, about filling a labor position.
Thank you. This labor position is the result of a retirement, and we are coming into the winter season where all the staff is critically needed for the snow and ice operations. And I do have currently three individuals that are out on extended leave due to medical issues. So we will start out shorthanded. So I urge you to please support the position getting filled.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Chambers concerning this labor position? Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
As we move into the last evening of budget reviews for the 2020 tentative budget, you have six departments that are included on this agenda tonight. Certainly we'll take any questions, also any that might have come up since the last review that you've had an opportunity now to look through your department summaries. And so certainly any questions that we can clarify for you, we can do tonight. I would like at some point during this discussion, I wanted to go through a couple of items, but to be able to have our highway superintendent come down to just speak a little bit. It's a tremendous year budgetarily, nearly doubling what we're looking at financially, even though it's not felt on the levy. So I think it's important to spend a little bit of time and have Don speak to this. It is in your summary. I think it's also rolled out a little bit in the budget message, but it's a really big year for highway. And I think that should not go unnoted or missed in the discussions that happen tonight. So out of the six before you this evening, you've got three on the levy that have increased. You have one is the Solid Waste Enterprise Fund. And while that's a zero cost to the county, it's important also that you note that it's a $500,000 increase over the prior year, and we're also looking at no tip fee increase. We're looking very soon to the recycling center in Harrisville to become operational, and I think that's going to shift the crisis, so to speak, that we've been dealing with recycling and having to transport to Casella and then on to Liverpool, as you know, and have modified the budget multiple times. Addressing this, having a market for our recyclables is not only our problem, it's a regional, it's a state, it's a national problem. So I think being able to look at solid waste increasing as a result of operational costs but not having to increase the tip fee is a very important piece of the budget this year. I think they work they have a tremendous workforce that they conduct those operational activities very well with very limited staff. You did agree to have, not in the budget, but during the year, to have those attendants continue, though I believe we are one lower than we began with. Those are seasonal and are also included in next year's budget. You have two departments that decreased out of the six that you're looking at tonight as well. A slight decrease in real property, and then looking at the treasurer's budget, also looking at a decreased cost there. Observations were made at the last meeting about reductions in health insurance. We certainly are looking very different than we were a few years ago. When you look at the health insurance numbers, they're also captured a little bit differently. Our interest is in making sure that you see the breakdown of that administrative cost that sometimes I think caused concern for labor, as well as what that health insurance number by itself is, and then what that pharmacy cost is. So the big drop next year is relative to health insurance alone. Pharmacy cost, when you look budget to budget, is pretty flat. The projection this year is coming in below approximately my pharmacy number. I believe it's 300,000 below what we were looking at. 435, my apologies, 435. So about 22,000 budget to budget difference. So again, pretty flat, but overall budget to budget for health insurance is 2.2 million. So that's significant, and I think that we look every year, you'll consider next month through the presentation we talked about a little bit last week, additional savings that we'd like to employ going into 2020. So you'll have the consideration next month to do that. But all those kinds of changes, the overall fringe reduction for 2020 is 1.9 million. So I think, you know, relative to the fact that we're increasing personnel costs associated with going from 789 up over 800, the health insurance, the fringe benefit costs are pretty well controlled at this time. It doesn't mean they'll stay there, but at this time, that's what it's looking like for us. So that had a big impact on the treasurer's budget as well. In contingency, as we talked about, and certainly we'll make available to you line by line, I went through in the summaries what's increased, what's decreased. We have a new category set aside for criminal justice reform. That conversation has also precipitated a dialogue now about what will happen January 2nd. So while I've set aside some money in 2020, we certainly need to be prepared. Some other counties have already hired. There's a variety of titles and ways with which each county, which is not dictated by the state, is trying to address this issue. And so certainly next month we'll be talking with you a little bit more about that. But there's some money set aside in contingency for that. Our capital, as I mentioned to you, is up 200,000 over this year. And I think that while underfunded, I think it's workable. That's another product we'll make available to you and update the progress we've made this year on the capital reserve, as well as the list breakdown you have in your department summaries book of our intentions for next year. But even since the tentative budget has been presented, there have been a couple of grant opportunities that may reduce the need for some of those pieces to be required out of capital reserve. And we certainly appreciate, even though there's a heavy reporting requirement typically, anytime we can secure funds for some of those larger purchases, we'd rather do that and bring that to you for approval. So there's a total of 700. Of that 700, 473 is for that facility management plan. We're talking about some equipment. We're certainly continuing to support information technology. The IT needs of the county continue to change and evolve. The network monitoring and security has become the forefront of many agendas, not because you want it to, but because something's happened. We had a very mild occurrence as compared to some other counties, and we'd like to respond and, if possible, to equate or get ahead of the challenges that we face on that front. Certainly something that I mentioned to you in the budget presentation, that I appreciate your discretion with the fund balance policy this year, that I have underfunded this year's contribution of 1.8 by $313,000. So I think it's also a safe assumption, in large part to the last 3 years since the fund balance policy has been adopted, to understand that we've exceeded the 1% each year significantly. And so my concern is not so much that we'll meet the policy, but that as budgets continue to contract and as resolutions come forward, not often, but like you considered last week, that we have the flexibility to respond when things outside of our control demand the spend of county dollars. And sometimes they aren't in reimbursable categories like the foster care we talked about. Those things, I think, are part of the reason for contingency. Also some unknowns like compensation associated with 4 contracts. We still have Council 82 sitting out there. We will have CSEA. We'll begin negotiations in the next couple of weeks. But that also has behind it coming through the solid waste contract, indigent defenders, as well as the management or unrepresented group. So setting aside those funds, we would be making assumptions that aren't ours to make if we were to allocate those into budget lines. So there's set aside there as well. Overtime's up just slightly. This year, it was the 25%. We're in about our fourth year of setting aside that 25%. As you saw, 2 modifications tonight. Only one of those 2 took from contingency. And the contingency it took from was set aside in the enterprise fund. So that doesn't impact your general fund. And for highway, we have $39,000 set aside this year. They were able to look internally. That's also the cause that we want to have the dialogue on the floor. Departments go back and look at where they have appropriations that won't be used, and they can reappropriate those rather than using from contingency. And you've seen that many months, or many committee meetings the last few months. It's very rare that departments have to come back, but we also realize a 4-year-old practice doesn't always hold and have the effectiveness it did the first year. So because of that, we want to look at some other opportunities. The budget team will have some dialogue about that. But we're up just about $9,178,000 of that is that 25% captured. And next year, we're looking at $187,000. We have seen an increase in the healthcare buyout, which is, I think we're in the fourth year of that happening, budgeting for it for 3 years now. We're up to $200,000. So that's an increase of about $60,000. Certainly something that's a challenge when you're self-insured to offer this opportunity, because when you're self-insured, you don't spend until you pay for care. But this is something that that employees are taking advantage of, which is something we offer, and certainly they're entitled to, but that does have a cost attached. That is not something that we budget out in departments for. That is all held in contingency, but it is spent in departments where it happens. So you'll be able to see that in your line item budget of where those departments are hit with that healthcare buyout cost. Overall, I also provided you with that opportunity to exercise your option to go up to the tax cap. So that option remains out there. And finally, I just wanted to talk a little bit, I think, about the treasurer's budget. We made a modest increase in sales tax. I think no one was upset about the third quarter results. However, we are anticipating change, and we all always cycle through the uptick, the plateau, and then the downslide. For a while. None can predict. It can't be predicted how long that will take. So we're budgeting. I think we had many discussions about it. We have accounted for that $1,056,000, which, as we understand, unofficially, but we expect that half will be taken at December's payment and half will be taken again in May. So over the year, we have accounted for that in our sales tax revenue, our expectation of losing that. We've also seen a slight decrease in the tribal state compact funds that we're receiving. So there's been a modest reduction across the board, as you'll remember, or those of you may not be familiar. We split 50% goes to the county, 25 to Messina, and 25 to Brazier. So the overall reduction is approximately 80,000 with the impacted towns at their pro rata share. So that's a modest reduction, but every reduction has an impact. And overall, just to give a quick update on the fleet, we expect that 2020, we will finally, I believe, reach the end of the cycle of the county-owned vehicles, separate and distinct from the fleet vehicles. We've been acquiring anywhere between 25 and purging 30-plus vehicles a year. So certainly with the balance between acquiring fleet vehicles allows us to decrease maintenance in some other areas. So we've been watching that. We also looked this year at moving highway vehicles out to the road machinery fund, and that decreased the cost, I believe, just over $180,000. So that allows the fund where the vehicles lie to pay for them. as well as department vehicles. You've known since we started in 2008 that departments that can get reimbursement are billed for those vehicles, and that reduces the obligation in the treasurer's office. So it's something that I think I'd like to bring you some more data about the reduction. We certainly try and mitigate mileage to be on your own if you choose a county vehicle is available and you don't use it. And that's worked effectively. But like I said about the 25% in overtime, practices get old and we have to refine and review and make sure that they're still effective and that they're still reaching the goal that's intended, which is saving the county money. Are there any questions before I have Don come down?
Mr. Lightfoot.
Okay.
On page 3 of 7 of the treasurer's section.
Hi.
The New York Power Authority, is that money in the high water fall?
Page 3. Are you looking at the first line of the revenue?
I'm looking at the fourth line down. First line in revenue 5.
Yes. So we did not make any adjustment related to the high water fall. High flow water money for next year. Our expectation is that it could be as much as 300, which we saw this year, and the board appropriated that as it saw fit. But we did not get to a point where we believed that we should include that for operational purposes to lower the levy.
And I understand that, and I think it's a good idea. The second question is on page 7 of 7, okay, under contractual, about halfway down, fleet leasing program. That has decreased significantly over the past 2 years. And it's a significant decrease from what the department head request was.
Yes.
Can you explain that?
So the department head request, we had not finalized the inventory and agreed with departments on what would be acquired for 2020. And the department head request is separate because, as I was just explaining, we moved to funds out to departments where they would be able to either get reimbursement, or mostly the impact is moving vehicles out to the road machinery fund. And we can match that all up for you and demonstrate where those costs have increased, the purge of the vehicles we no longer have to maintain, and the impact on those budgets.
I don't think I need that.
Okay.
Thank you.
We're looking at it. Other questions?
Mr. Haggard.
Yes, I have a question on the planning budget.
Okay.
Page 28 of 39.
Okay, let me get there with you.
There's a decrease in the budget of $51,000. Is that because we didn't provide a deputy position?
What page are you on? 105?
28 of 39 on the planning.
Oh, here 28. We go. Yep, 1 second. I get to pick the menu book.
Page 28 of 39.
That would be in your department summary book.
Yes.
Yep, I'll be there in the orange. Okay. So the reduction is a couple of things. The reduction is based on a removal of a deputy position at max, an inclusion of a planner one at base, and a difference between what the department head who retired and the promotion of the deputy into the planner position, the net deficit of that promotion.
Okay. My question on that is, with that happening, do we have a, and I noticed that the request of the budget was higher than was than the tentative.
Mm-hmm.
The question there is, are we going to have, since planning writes all our, or the vast majority of our grants, but certainly assists all the departments in writing the grants, is this going to have any negative effect on it without having the staffing necessary to complete those grant requests?
Well, a couple of things were going on during the tentative budget preparation that you're well aware of. And I think that not looking to net decrease the department, one of the things that we looked at is the importance of succession planning, so not having a flat staffing level. I think many departments can make the case for additional grant writer type positions, but I've talked with the new planning director, Mr. Fotenhauer, about a review of what staffing levels should look like. The reality was we wanted to have a placeholder there to have the discussion, to make a determination. Would a planner one, would another grants manager make more sense? Would a planner two? What would make the most sense for those staffing levels? But we didn't want to net decrease the department.
Okay, so we're taking a look at a flex. So what you're saying is you want it to remain flexible. So
yes,
we can basically be fast on our feet if we need to fill those positions so we don't lose any grant opportunities
correct.
Going forward in 2020.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Yep. Don?
Joe.
Yes. As the county administrator said earlier, she wanted me to basically address our 2020 budget and basically the capital program. It is a significant increase for our projects. Two being projects that we discussed already in resolutions for contractors this evening. One being the bridge in on South Shore in the town of Fine, and the other four preservation bridges. We will also have a project that we're moving forward with the Browns Bridge in the town of Pierrepont. It's actually at the intersection of basically the town of Parrishville, Pierrepont, and Colton, but it's on the upper reaches of the Hanawha Pond where it crosses. That is scheduled to be replaced and will be bid in 2020. And we also have another project that we will be doing on County Road 17, three culvert replacements that are part of, again, group them together as one capital project. And that's under the Culvert New York program, which is 100% state funded rather than the others that are 95% federal and 5% local. So those are the primary ones that will be going right into construction for the 2020 year. And we will also be progressing with the design of the Depot Street Bridge in the hamlet of Helena, town of Brazier. So that will be moving forward as well. Within the this year, the legislature funded a portion of the Talkville Bridge just outside of the hamlet of Edwards. This structure is currently posted for 5 tons and is going quickly. Our plans are to put that out to bid within the next few weeks for the structural steel, and then put another contract out to bid in the spring for the construction component. The reason why we split that up is basically taking some of the funds that we had that were left over from the previous budget, and we rolled them forward to pay for the structural steel, and the balance of that project will be paid for with the CHIPS funding and the 2020 budget. We also plan on having three large culvert projects on some county roads that are in dire need of replacement. In fact, two of them we actually have had to close the shoulders on the structures due to their state of deterioration. So that will be, those will be CHIPS funded projects as well. The other project that we'll be looking at is also starting the design, hopefully, on the Jones Road bridges. They're basically two bridges that are back-to-back with a very small piece of land in the center as an island. Both structures have been recently closed due to primarily what we suspect is a significant overload causing structural issues for those bridges resulting in their closure. So those are the primary areas of the capital budget for 2020.
Mr. Perkins.
Mr. Chambers, can you give me an estimate of what the Jones Road Bridge would cost to repair?
At this point, I do not have an estimate on that.
Ballpark?
We're looking at what it's going to entail because they are historic structures, and we're working on that detail at this point. Tentatively, the plan is to use some historic trusses as replacements that were in Edwards on New Street. Approximately nearly 20 years ago, the county promised that we would use these trusses again in the future when we were doing a bridge replacement. And so utilizing those existing trusses, even though they're just the outside portions of the structure, should allow us to replace those now extremely damaged trusses with other historic structures to keep the historic integrity of the area, because it is within the park. They are historic structures built in 1902. The trusses that we're planning on replacing them with were constructed in 1904, so I believe that it's going to satisfy the Historic Preservation Office. That's my plan at this point.
How's the foundation for the trusses? Are they in fair shape?
The trusses have laid up stone abutments. They're basically cut stone, similar to the building that we have here, so they're rather stout, but they're dry stack, very unique. So the plan would be to leave the dry stack alone and actually build new abutments behind the dry stack to maintain the structural integrity. The trusses that I plan to utilize are slightly longer than the existing ones, so we would be able to build behind and maintain the aesthetics of the stacked stone and utilize historic trusses as well. So I believe what we've got planned will allow us to keep in good graces with our Historic Preservation Office.
Schedule 6, included in your budget book, has the list of the capital projects, and since some of the bidding has been complete, I think those numbers have changed just a bit. As an informational piece, we'll update those once the budget's adopted so that you know what that looks like.
Yes.
Any other questions for Highway?
Ms. Curran.
So I saw in the budget that we created a deputy highway superintendent as part of this. I didn't see like a resolution or anything. Is it going to come to us that way?
It can. There are other positions included in the budget that weren't in the 2019 budget. We have positions that both go through the vacancy process as well as the budget process. In this case, the maintenance shop supervisor position was abolished, so it's a net zero impact, although the salary associated with it is a little bit different. Don can speak to the position change.
Yes. Whenever we have an opportunity when an individual retires, it gives us a good opportunity to look at the entire operations of the facility, especially when we get to a supervisory type level. And this position had traditionally the maintenance supervisor would oversee the shop and also organize the movement of equipment. The moving this to a deputy operations person, what I was anticipating and doing is trying to make things work much better. That individual would oversee shop operations as well as the transportation and allocation of equipment. Right now, there can be a disconnect between when you have multiple supervisors giving information on when they need equipment, where they need equipment, what needs to be repaired. So by having one person that they would go to as that deputy operations person would be able to speak with the supervisors, get their needs for equipment, organize transportation of said equipment, and also inform the shop which would be a priority for repairs or maintenance. So I think we will increase our utilization of equipment, which may reduce the need for renting equipment, or and also speeding up the process and making us more efficient and being more giving better information to the shop as to what is indeed needs to be the number one in line to be put out the door. So I think it will increase our efficiency and reduce the frustration that some of the members of my staff have had with some communication issues at times.
Mr. Denisha.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I spoke with Mr. Chambers as recently as today regarding this. I told him that, you know, in light of the departure of the one of our folks, that I felt that he would have been remiss if he didn't look at an opportunity for some efficiencies in the department. And as I believe at this point, it is on a it is a, the position is on the chart, but it is there as a at this point is a placeholder. There's been no one identified, but I think it's a I think it makes sense. Mr. Chambers is away. Like any organization, someone has to make the decisions, needs to make the calls, and this will allow that to happen.
Thank you, Mr. Denisha. Anyone else?
Thank you.
Any other questions associated with your review of the department summaries, even from other committees? Certainly, we've got some folks here, but if we don't have immediate answers for you, we can get them pretty quick.
Mr. Haggard.
Yes, I have a question concerning the, it would be the county administrator's budget.
Sure.
And I'm referring to the 2020 tentative. Okay. Page 3 of 23. When we talk about partner agencies, does that include the IDA?
It does.
Okay. So I have a question on that. At the top of page 3 of 23, it says the initial request of the partner agencies for 2020 was in excess of $340,000, or 51% increase. However, the level is not sustainable for the county. However, funding at that level is not sustainable for the county is a choice of how we spend our money. Is that a fair statement?
It is, and it's capturing my recommendation.
Okay. The question I have is specifically concerning the IDA.
Okay.
We have the budget projects a funding of the IDA of $250,000.
Correct.
I believe.
Yes.
Okay, I could be wrong, correct me. But one of the problems, it seems to me, is that the IDA can provide significant opportunities if we make a choice to provide additional funding to the IDA. And my question here is, with a funding of only $250,000, does that in fact create a disability for the types of projects the IDA is comfortable taking a look at?
Well, I'm not fully informed on all the projects that the IDA looks at. I have had the conversation with Patrick Kelly, and we have agreed that allowing for another year in the resolution that you'll consider hopefully next would provide them with additional stability for 4 years over 3 years and restore that funding over a period of time that the levy, the budget can absorb.
I guess that answers my question, but the question is here, that the funding for the IDA is a choice. In other words, we're choosing to put significant money in the fund balance and a variety of other things. I mean, those are choices we've made. And we know that if we increase the economic opportunities in this county, that in the long run, they will provide additional revenue, coming into this county. And one of the problems is sometimes we take a look at some of the larger projects, and I'm thinking about one specifically coming into my particular district. And the IDA basically said they took a look at it and it's like, oh my gosh, this is bigger than we've ever looked at. Okay? It's not that big a project. We're talking about a project where the building is going to be about $50 million, which in an industrial project is nothing. It's absolutely nothing. But our IDA takes a look at it and says, oh my gosh, this is something that we can't take a look at. So my question here is, and I think we should take a look at it, or retake another look at it, and maybe have some additional meetings with Patrick Kelly before we approve this budget, whether or not we need to rethink the contribution to the IDA. And that's my only comment on that.
Sure.
Mr. Lightfoot.
I attended the budget meeting that Pat Kelly attended when he was promoting his budget. And let me say before I go further that I do support the IDA. I think that they do a great job with what they do. But there's a but. And the but is this. Pat was looking to have the funding from the county increased to the level that it was at several years ago, $400,000. That would be an increase of $200,000. I asked Pat, what would you do with that money? And Pat could not answer me. I agree that you've got a potential coming into Potsdam for quite a significant undertaking. I don't think that adding another $200,000 to that IDA budget would enhance the ability of the IDA to handle a project like that or to provide any significant funding to it. Ergo, the $15 million that this company has received from the Koch brothers, I believe. So I guess what I'm saying is that I don't think that that this particular project really falls within what the IDA is capable of providing financing for. What they have historically been able to do is to save money for an entity looking to build, forgiveness for sales tax, mortgage taxes, et cetera, which is significant. The other part of that would be to be able to fund bonding for it, for which they receive a significant amount of money on those bond issues. So I think this is a work in progress. I think that my thought was in supporting this is that the IDA you're going to have to prove to me what they're doing with that money, that extra money that they're getting, how it is benefiting the county, and is it going to continue to benefit the county if we continue to increase over the next 4 years of this contract past 2020 and bring some measurable results. Enough said.
Mr. Berg.
I'm wondering if we could ask Jim Reagan, who is our representative to the IDA, to weigh in. I'd like to have his assessment of what the IDA, the potential, and the need for funding.
Mr. Reagan, if you will.
Sure. Thanks, John. Thanks, Kevin. In our discussions with the county and with the IDA, obviously the IDA was interested in getting the funding restored that was cut 4 years ago. In my discussions with Ruth, She had said that the budget team was facing difficult choices, as they always are in putting together a budget, and we're trying not to exceed the property tax cap. Thank you. And the and also you know, had strong reservations about raising the levy. The and her feeling was that if we could do it on a more gradual basis over a four-year period, that it would be much easier for the county to gradually make the increases. In terms of what the IDA will do with the funds, I think many of you here in this room are aware of the fact that there are going to be personnel changes in the IDA over the you know, both in the coming year and in the next couple of years. The IDA has been operating with a couple of its top people who are elderly and retired from other positions and don't have to receive medical insurance or other benefits from the IDA. The earlier, a few months ago, we approved taking the setting the Workforce Investment Board, which the IDA staff had been operating in addition to its other duties, and having that operate more on its own over with the work with the work center over at the corner of Court Street and Main Street. And in order to make the get the kind of staff that, you know, we're going to need in the future, who can negotiate with companies that might be interested in coming into St. Lawrence County and helping existing companies that are already in the county to stay here and grow here. You need a certain caliber of people, and having part-timers and, you know, people who are retired isn't always the best way to staff an agency. I don't think we have a lot of agencies in the county where those are our main staff people, and I think it's important for the IDA to be able to make those kinds of personnel changes in next year and in the years to come, so that, you know, we have people who can help us accomplish the goals that this board has set for the IDA. You know, when you're meeting with Corning, or we had a meeting with ACCO, you know, a week or so ago, and you're dealing with Fortune 500 companies, you just can't send some 22-year-old in to handle the negotiations if you want to be taken seriously. And it's important to bring people involved who have the credentials and who have the background to be taken seriously in those discussions. Many of you noticed a few months ago, Metting in Ogdensburg secured a $10 million contract with the Marine Corps for defense-related equipment. That was a company that the IDA first contacted more than a decade ago. And, you know, they were, it takes many, many years before, sometimes, before a company actually makes a move over here, and then a while can take several years before they grow, if ever. And I think the IDA is has shown itself to have a great deal of foresight in helping to attract companies here and making the conditions available to conducive to them to consider locating here. And I would like to be able to say, well, if we give them $50,000, we'll get three companies. That would be a lie. You have to work at it and throw the dice repeatedly and reach out to companies, because every day our companies here in St. Lawrence County are besieged by offers by companies both across the United States and globally, with outfits offering, come to these other places, we can offer you a better deal, and we have to be able to compete with that. So your support for the resolution that should be coming up soon would certainly be appreciated.
Mr. Haggard.
Yep. I don't know if anybody
else. Anyone else like to speak? Go ahead, Mr. Haggard.
Thank you. What I'm saying is that I think we need a commitment to industrial development in this county. And we need to signify it some way. I understand what Mr. Reagan's saying. But if we want to bring together a professional staff, associate them with the IDA, and then use the IDA to leverage other companies to either come in here or work to maintain existing companies, I think the legislature, the county, has to make a commitment to the fact that we are fully, fully committed to industrial development. And with the size of the budget, and I understand we have all kinds of responsibilities, and we have all kinds of things we have to take care of. What I'm simply saying is, when we say that any money to the IDA, as it affects the budget, is not sustainable, I'm saying that's a choice. And I believe that we should be making a choice for a much more significant, stated public commitment to industrial development. That's all I'm saying.
Anyone else? Mr. Berg.
I guess I'm not sure, if we could ask Jim. I'm not sure.
And he used up all his time. In that
Jim, yeah, a quick question then. Quick. Are you, is Jim comfortable with the budget as proposed, the $250,000 increase?
Well, if he can answer yes or no, Mr. Reagan, he's officially says yes. He supports the resolution.
Yes. This was something I discussed.
Thank you. Okay. All I will say on the matter was, I think it was in 2012 when Patrick Kelly appeared before us and we were actually approving the funding, I think for $400,000. He mentioned that in 3 years' time, he would not be seeking any further funding from the county. And that was a long time ago now, and that has not happened. The IDA has a tough job. New York, and I'm repeating myself, it's the highest tax, most regulated state in the nation. Tough to come to New York to do business. Fortunately, they have been able to attract many Canadian companies here. They work hard. I'm not especially excited that the IDA is putting an IGA in Mr. Denisha's district. I think that's a private investment thing. I'm not certain that, this is my own opinion, that that we have to do a $500,000 loan for a company that's a multi-million dollar business. But I'll just let it go with that. Okay.
I'll just mention. And one other thing, we continue since 2010 to provide benefits, I believe, to all but one. We provide the service and they pay us for it, but that's a provision they didn't have to incur when they left St. Lawrence County government.
Okay.
Any other questions at this time on the 2020 budget?
Mr. Forsyth.
It's kind of on it, but kind of off it. When will we have a profit and loss for Bassmasters? Any idea? It's end of October now. It's been over
it's a good
a couple
point.
Months.
We were supposed to schedule a roundup.
Yeah. And I talked to
you know, when
about
we're talking economic development, you know where we could find $45,000 like that if you want to go that direction to fund the IDA. So, you know, those are things that can pop up, but it'd be nice to know how they're doing with that.
Thank you for reminding us. We do need to schedule that. Mr. Lightfoot, did you have a question or a comment? You're all set? Read it, Ms. Curran? You do? Okay. Okay.
We can go on.
To A?
Ms. Chair, yep.
Okay. So we've had our discussion about the budget. So basically, the delivery of the tentative 2020 budget to the Board of Legislators. We've discussed it. I believe we take a vote.
No, we don't. Just
we don't
an
take
objection.
A vote? Any objections to delivering this budget to our county administrator? Any changes? Seeing none?
We will schedule the public hearing, if there's no objection to that, for next Monday night, November 4th at 5:50 p.m.
Okay. Good to see.
It's good to be.
Okay.
So also included, and I'll be brief, is the third quarter performance report. We continue to evolve, bringing you the best information we can. The challenge we faced quarter over quarter is the lagging revenue because the quarter closes, the reports are pulled together, submitted to the state, and then we usually see them in the quarter that follows. So rather than waiting two quarters out, bringing you the information, you've got it all countywide, funds combined, and those, none of the major categories, salaries, equipment, contractual, or fringe benefits, exceed that 75%. We hover in contractuals around 66, our salaries are at 71. And then you've got the breakdown by department, so if there's any particular interest or concern that you have, you can track that. I would note that in, for example, community services, you're seeing the revenue at 61%, but on an average, you're seeing the overall spend in the 60s as well. So I think that, you know, some of those things, one's reliant on the other. In many cases, social services, even the budget mod you'll see in the fourth quarter that we looked at last week, even with some of the increased expenses, they still fall about 73%. But overall, when you look at the last two pages of your report, which we've broken down by department, just for the budget compared to where they are now, you've got 14 departments who are at or above that 75%. Six of those 14 departments are within 5%. The balance of those are just slightly under the 75%. So we have a comfort level. There's, I think, nine of them that, by my count, who are awaiting revenue, one of which, although it's difficult to see on the summary report, is the county clerk. They end up about a month behind as they reconcile their bank statements and then reconcile them with the treasurer's office. So those numbers, we bring you what's in Munis, because I think if we were to go upon knowledge based at the department level, it would be a challenge for us to substantiate that at a later time. So we bring you what is in Munis, and we look at the department responses on a quarterly basis as well. There's a couple anomalies. I think there's some salary allocations in the county attorney's office. I don't think it's anything to be alarmed about, because as you know, there are three funds in the county attorney's budget: workers' comp, liability and casualty, as well as the tax levy or the administrative side of the county attorney's office. And then the youth bureau, I think we've absorbed an increased cost associated with retirement. So I think those two, being small, very low discriminatory budgets, they can peak easily and exceed that traditional number that you're used to seeing. But if you have any questions, send them to us. We certainly can go through them. One area that I believe we're only about three quarters into bringing you since it's been cleaned up is the capital projects, and that's at that very last page at the bottom section. We have totals there for you, and we indicate what departments house capital projects, and in this one, it's buildings and grounds for the energy performance contract, it's IT, and it's planning associated with the bus project. So those are all pulled together, and we have some, we want to track that a little bit better and break it down so that it makes more sense. Those capital projects typically are kept inside 5 years. We've done our best to close those within 5 years. That's the comptroller's recommendation, but they flow year over year. So we've got energy performance contract, I think we're in the third year of the bond with. So there's some things there that I think we could do a better job of lining out for you so that the review of them would be faster and easier to delineate between the projects. Any questions on third quarter? No?
No.
Okay, we'll move on then to the resolution.
Mr. Reagan, would you like to read the resolution concerning the IDA, please?
Authorizing the chair to sign a contract with the St. Lawrence County Industrial Development Agency to provide for economic development services for St. Lawrence County.
Seconded by Mr. Forsyth, Mr. Denisha, Ms. Curran, Ms. Terminality, Mr. Haggard, Mr. Arquette, Mr. Sheridan. Okay. Discussion.
This resolution, as we've talked briefly about during the budget deliberations, is an extended year over the existing three contracts that we've had with the IDA, standalone from the county. It does indicate increase over the 4 years of $50,000 per year, and that's located in the county administrator's budget under special items. The reporting that you already receive, you'll continue to receive both quarterly and annually. I think typically Patrick's happy to come in anytime you'd like to speak to a project or to give an overview. I know that he's also very interested in reaching out in your districts to you for special projects. You know, we've toured a few different places. Opportunities have been provided to look at some of the progress that's been made, and that's always an opportunity for you. So if there's something you're hearing about or seeing, we're happy to coordinate for you, and they're always willing to get on site and give you some information. Questions?
Mr. Haggard.
Yes, I'm going to be supporting the resolution simply because Mr. Reagan, Legislator Reagan, said that he's comfortable with it for the IDA. I was much more comfortable with the resolution that asked for the bringing up to the level of $400,000 in 2020, and I think it's unfortunate that we did not proceed with that. I am going to support it because he said he's comfortable with it. I think it's a shame that we have not made a choice to fund the IDA at a much higher level. I think it's a shame that we haven't sat down and worked much more closely with Mr. Kelly to allow for the types of projects and the industrial development that we're going to need. And I think that industrial development right now is critical, and I think it's critical on an immediate basis. And I think postponing it for 4 years is not going to help us achieve the types of goals we want. I'm going to support the resolution, but simply because of the fact that our representative to the IDA is in support of it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Haggard. Anyone else? Seeing none, all those in favor of the resolution signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Okay.
Oh, I have a few things to report.
Okay. You got some more stuff?
Yep, I do have a transfer to report to you for emergency services in the total of $700. I think when emergency services was here last month, the indication was given to you that there was additional travel associated with the high water along the river this year and into Jefferson County. So the account has been moved $350 from other fees and services and $350 from uniform and clothing. Next, I wanted to let you know that I have, as I mentioned, met with department staff regarding the volume associated with it. They've pulled some numbers together, which we'll share with you about providing information and condensed timelines that will begin on January 1st. Chairman Lightfoot and I attended a portion of the meeting, the county magistrate's meeting this evening, where OCA was giving a training specific to chapter and verse with regard to how things will be done, what the timelines will look like, and how they are to comply. It appeared to be a well-attended meeting. It was unfortunate we didn't get to have the dialogue with them following that training, but several of our county staff were able to attend as well. So I'm hopeful they'll gain some more information. Certainly many folks aren't clear on how this is to be implemented, but expectations will begin January 1. Our EAP Health Fair was held last Friday, and for the first time, we moved the location out to the Human Services Center. And by all accounts that have been shared with me, it was a great event. Folks that were both tasked to leave here and travel out, I did and do annually grant leave time to visit the health fair. We were able to provide flu shots. It was a little bit uncertain coming into the weeks before, based upon the state's recommendation of what would be allowed. We gave 90 flu shots. Our public health staff provided 90 flu shots. There are 50 remaining. If you have an interest in attending the in making an appointment and going to the public health clinic, I will tell you I hate shots, and they did an outstanding job. So I got my flu shot as well and didn't even scream. They did an outstanding job with the traffic flow out there, and those folks who've been traveling over to the courthouse for the past, how many years? 37 years got to stay home, and people came to them. So I think it was a success, out on a limb a little bit. Next week on Friday, November 8th, the opioid task force, the county task force, will be hosting a provider of MAT services from Erie County. And as many of you have heard, Erie County is somewhat of the buzzword for most impacted by deaths associated with opioid abuse. So certainly something that you're invited to. Dana is hosting it at the Fairfield Inn, the new hotel in Canton. We can get you the arrangements. It's at 10 o'clock start on that day, and certainly all are welcome. I think there'll be quite an education provided there. He's coming up also to provide additional MAT services training the days preceding. I do want to thank you for the unusual request consideration this evening for the emergent issue with enriched housing here in Canton. It was needed to be addressed. There will be no interruption in service, thanks to your support of moving in that direction. It was short notice, and praise to Office for the Aging to both bring a solution that requires an expense, a solution from a funding perspective, as well as the opportunity at the end of the resolution to give the aging staff the opportunity to look at all of our sites. Needs are changing, as you've heard, and looked at your budget. Those numbers are increasing for home-delivered meals. So near the end of the first quarter of next year, we'd like to bring you some assessment of that and some recommendations. But I very much appreciate, I know it's a challenge when the county's walked away from services in the past. We've had a provider come in from the proverbial private sector that now is walking away, and we are that provider that goes in to make sure services happen. So I'm very appreciative of the consideration, a little bit outside the norm, and a responsiveness to provide these services for the folks in need there. Early voting is underway. Board of Elections, I think there's a couple stickers out and about. They began on Saturday. And Saturday, there were 56 early voters. On Sunday, there were 46. And as of 4 p.m. today, there were over 100. So I think they're getting some visits there that they traditionally wouldn't, and are meeting that need with some new technology that you've provided. And also, we're trying to work with Jefferson County to assist in areas where they're really struggling to meet the need that they're going to have next week. So very fortunate that, though it seemed expensive and early, that we were able to respond, we're able to get some training in and provide the integrity that's necessary for the election coming up next week. The magistrates meeting I provided you an update on. There will be an announcement later this week. I want to speak with you after the meeting a little bit about a meeting regarding the Ready Commission.
Okay. Thank you very much. We have some committee reports. First up is Mr. Denisha with Cooperative Extension Board.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The board met on September 24th for a regular meeting. The Cornell Cooperative Extension Annual Dinner was held this past Thursday, October 24th. Unfortunately, I was unable to attend it. Patrick did send out a note to the board that our annual financial review, it was conducted by a private auditor at Cornell, was returned with no findings. So I thought that was impressive. They're following in the same vein as our treasurer.
Excellent.
And that's all I have.
Thank you, Mr. Denisha. Fish and Wildlife Management Board, Region 6. Ms. Curran?
There has not been another meeting since the last one that in September. And just quickly, if I can,
certainly,
say that I attended a talk when we were at NYSEC by the Erie County Drug Task Force people, and it would be worthwhile for any of us that can attend to attend and see what it is that they did there. They've had quite a bit of success given the like volume of their issues there in that county. And it might behoove us to take some of those things and try to apply them locally.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Curran. Ms. Terminelli, Fisheries Advisory Board.
Nothing new to update.
Okay. Mr. Leader, Governor Fair Board. Thank you. Mr. Denisha, Highway and Solid Waste Committee.
thank you, Mr. Chairman. We've been working, the Association of St. Lawrence County Supervisors, and Ms. Arquette, Mr. Chambers, and myself have been working with the town supervisors to arrive at a acceptable contract for snow and ice removal for the next 3 years. We believe that we have, and it's been sent out to the supervisors. It will be shared with the board shortly. But again, it's something that was was good for everyone.
Thank you, Mr. Denisha. Mr. Reagan with the IDA.
The IDA is meeting Thursday, so I have no report.
Okay, thank you. Recreational Trails Advisory Board is Mr. Arquette. He is not in attendance. The RBIDA, Mr. Forsythe. Okay. St. Lawrence County Chamber of Commerce, Ms. Arquette.
I don't have a meeting to report on, but we did, myself and other legislators and administration, did attend the St. Lawrence County Chamber of Commerce annual fall dinner, and at that time, they honored three local businesses. That was Mike's Trophies, In Law Brewing, and CECOM Federal Credit Union.
Okay. Has there been any discussion about Bassmasters at all in your meetings? So,
as far as I know, there is not. You're looking for revenue, sales.
Well,
report,
just a conversation about what took place.
Right.
Like a follow-up.
I have nothing specific to report on Bassmasters, okay, but I will touch base with the Chamber of Commerce and see if there's some information that I can bring back to the next meeting.
Thank you. Soil and Water, Mr. Burt.
The county forester is continuing working with the Village of Potsdam on cataloging the Emerald Ash Borer. Although much appreciated, the funds for reforestation will probably not be utilized until the forester can get a good handle on invasive species and low value timber to be removed before reforestation can occur. He's also recently completed his certification as a arborist, which will help any municipality that works with him in securing grant funding. So it's a much needed certification and should be beneficial mm-hmm. to the whole county. That's it.
Thank you, Mr. Berg. Old and new business. Mr. Forsyth.
Yeah, I just got one thing that's been I've been thinking about a little bit lately is the old jail. What are we going to do with the old jail?
Anyone
talk about
else?
It every year, but we don't do anything with the old jail. Budget time, capital project money. What are we going to do with the old jail? Don't you think we should nip this?
Mr. Lightfoot.
That might be a good place to put the centralized St. Lawrence County Court. Thinking about, and that came up in the meeting that the county administrator and I attended this afternoon with the County Magistrates Association. And I got to tell you, they have a presentation on discovery, a chapter and verse on discovery. And I'm going to tell you that the onus is on the prosecutor. roadmap for a defense attorney to get his client charges against his client dismissed. There's nothing, literally nothing in there for the prosecution. Everything is bent towards the defendant. And I'm not saying that people shouldn't have the right to a good representation, but there are so many quirks in this thing, so many requirements, so many ways to complicate not only the law, but the way it's administered in this state. It is going to cause a problem. And it's probably going to result in some other unfunded mandate for the counties with respect to the centralized court. And I think it's a great idea that we should be looking at the county jail as perhaps a place to house this if and when it does come to fruition.
Thank you, Mr. Lightfoot. Anyone else? So I believe that we all received an invitation from LC Drives. Is that correct? Only the Republicans. Nancy's shaking her head no. The only Republicans get it? I'm sure. Did you get one, Mr. Haggard?
Yes, I already got.
Okay, so are we going to ask our chairman to coordinate a meeting for us to meet? Or is are you met with them individually?
I met with them individually.
Yeah, okay. Some folks went today.
Okay, so you went today? Would you like to report on it? Or?
I went a couple weeks ago.
Okay, so you set up your own appointment then?
Yeah, actually, okay. The Director of Strategic Planning was Devin Sutton.
Okay.
And she had worked at Clarkson. And she left Clarkson, went over to LC Drives, and she reached out to me, you know, because of our previous relationship. And
yep.
The position that I have as a board member, and just asked me if I'd like to take a tour of LC Drives.
Okay.
And I think it would be, I'm not sure what it would take to get the room that hasn't been there, but I think it'd be very informative and as well as very exciting, okay. The potential.
Mr. Lightfoot.
Devin did send out individual requests to everybody. And I sort of thought that perhaps it was the best idea that people signed on to that and contacted her with dates that they could go. That's convenient.
Okay.
But I got to tell you that Legislator Forsyth and I are going to be there with her at 9:00 in the morning. And I would think that it would be perfectly all right with her that anybody else that wanted to attend is certainly welcome. So at the loading dock, across the road from Damon Hall at 9:00.
It's kind of an app.
Where's?
What day is that?
Tomorrow.
Where's Damon Hall? Downtown, is it?
I can.
Mr. Haggard?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. If you.
Dave told me about it.
There are two main drags where, if you know where the village and the library and the museum is.
Yeah.
There's the major building right across from that.
Isn't that
Clarkson's.
That was Snell,
hey, that's,
right?
Yeah. Then the next road down, going towards the river, is where you want to take a left, okay? And that's Main Street. And if you go about, anybody that went to the presentation last week, that's their main building. If you go three or four buildings down on the right, you're going to see the location they named. But that's where their administrative building is. And Rick can help me if I'm wrong here. Then right next to that is where the loading dock is where they started the tour. Is that correct?
Yeah, if you're coming into Potsdam and going by the Rocky Theater and going up the fire department on your left, go right through the light right there and just pass Old Main.
So you'd be going you would be going the back way to Crane? Okay, if you go up there and then.
Just up there and the first building, well, when you first turn into the right, you have to park all the way back and the back parking lot, but it's the very first building in front, all the way to the back.
Okay.
There's a small motor there.
And you worked for them for a short period of time? Probably don't want to make any comments?
No, I don't.
Okay, all right. Fair enough. Okay.
I will say it would be interesting to have Devin come in and speak, and she did tell him, because I wanted to be here already.
Okay.
She'd be willing to come in and speak, and I think that would be a great idea.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Haggard.
Yeah, the I went in with Mr. Perkins, Mr. Burke, and I went in with trying to be skeptical enough to be convinced. One of the things that I've pushed since I've been on this board is the tremendous assets we have with four colleges, which are the real assets, the economic drivers of this county. LC Drives, not to make a pun there, has a very unique way of looking at why being here is advantageous. One of them is they'll be able to take advantage of the engineering and the business group that's coming out of Clarkson, and they're being able to buy it at that level as opposed to going to some other major engineering schools which may be more expensive. The other thing is, by the item they're making, they are not inhibited by the disability of transportation. One of the things that I know that you and I did not necessarily agree on is transportation is, I believe, the single greatest disability for this county for an economic driver. But LC Drives is moving out engines that can be pushed out either by UPS or FedEx. So therefore, they can move, and transportation is not an item. And because they'd be putting out maybe at peak in the neighborhood of 20 to 50 units a month, that's something that can be handled fairly easily as opposed to somebody that's making a lot of pieces and trying to sell it out. The other thing that I think that they've talked about, I think it's important that the board take a look at, is that they've been able to start an internship program with Fort Drum. So people transitioning out of the service, they're able to provide line positions and those positions to fill in those. Their business model, I can tell you, is extremely interesting and extremely exciting. It's the type of thing that could be a very much an exciting boon for St. Lawrence County. But the single greatest, most important thing is it's the first major company that's come out of the Clarkson incubator. And therefore, it's moving out of the incubator and moving into the community. The incubator was always set up as a way to try to develop technologies and companies and keep them in St. Lawrence County. We haven't seen that in the past. In fact, one of the criticisms of the Clarkson incubator was that they were developing many, many technologies and then moving them out of the county. This is the first one that's going to keep them in the county. If they can move forward and they can get the funding, we're looking at the potential of here of developing 200 jobs here. I mean, that's what they're taking a look at. What it's going to take is more than the county of St. Lawrence. It's going to take every one of us writing our senators, be it Schumer or Gillibrand or whatever, and getting federal money up here. And it's also going to require state money. And I can hear it coming already. Well, if we get state money, what about the taxpayers? And I'm going to go back to exactly what I talk about when we talk about funding for roads and highways. The state's going to spend money someplace. It might as well spend it here. And this is a great idea. The company, the technology works. It seems to be sound. And the business model is as exciting as I've seen since I've been in the North Country. So I would encourage everybody to have a chance to go and then try to get behind this project, because if it works, it will provide tremendous, tremendous outgrowth and industrial development for this country, for this county. And the good thing about it is we're not just trying to save or come into one of the plants and give the money as kind of a, keep it going type of business. You know, we're not providing medical assistance to companies that are not being competitive. This is a new technology that can work. And it can work, and there's more than just the Kochs that are involved. It's Koch Industrial, it's not Koch Brothers. It's Koch Industrial, which is an entirely different group, different arm. And right now, they're selling out product lines to Bosch
and to Siemens, which are their major competitors for large engines. And these are the engines that go in things like tankers, they go in things like wind, those types of technologies. It also is a company that's going to be taking up between 5 and 6 meg of electrical power here, and with the regulations and so forth, the lack of regulations, resolutions that have been passed in the town of Potsdam within the last 2 months, we may be able to see some of those things being spread out by some of the things that we're talking about, by solar and a variety of other things. So I would encourage anybody to go. It was very, very, I was very impressed. And I went in with the idea that just another idea. But I was really impressed when I went in. Thank you. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Haggard. Anyone else? Would anyone that supported the Historical Association like to report on today's invitation? Ms. Terminelli?
So this afternoon, the Historical Society held a reception and invited the Board of Legislators to it at 4 o'clock. Several of us attended. We had the opportunity to tour the facility and look at the impact that the monies that are being set aside for them will help to grow their programming. They're looking to host different exhibits that will come through, so they continue to pull people in to see what the Historical Association has to offer of St. Lawrence County. Very, very impressive, the archives that are located upstairs. They're digitizing everything, so any kind of research, historical research, genealogy research can be done there. They have a research room that was really neat to see, and it was a fantastic reception, well put together, and the people that are working there and volunteering there are definitely dedicated individuals. I was impressed by their knowledge and their passion for the society. So thank you for the opportunity.
Okay. Anyone else? Mr. Fay.
I think I'd like to point out our legislator, Jim Reagan, has 2 books in the archives.
He's that old. Thank you, Jim. I've read his books. They're very good. The early voting, I actually had a meeting this morning. I hosted Brian Harmer's government participation class. He's been doing this for a number of years. Last Monday, he brought half the class. Today, he brought the other half. So they were actually going to be visiting the clerk, the sheriff's, corrections, real property, too.
Different ones. Their way out to
and
human services.
There was 3 of them that were actually 18 that were not registered to vote, so they probably had an opportunity to see the early voting system. I did not tell them which party to join, so be careful of that. So it'll be pretty exciting. I went over and I voted. It's really easy. They said they had people from Hammond, people that were doing business in Canton, that were dropping by and voting. I had a conversation with Mr. Nichols. I tried to vote again. They blocked me. And actually, Jenny Bacon came out of the office saying that her computer had been notified that somebody tried to vote twice. So it was a test, which was kind of fun, that it blocked me the second time. I'm going to try it in Madrid here on Tuesday again to see if we can get into it. But is that right, Mr. Haggard?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, maybe. Well,
you can devise your own test. Okay, but that's like going into a bank with a gun and say, I'm testing to see if your security's okay. Will arrest you.
Mr. Haggard, will you represent me pro bono in this case?
I can't because let's just not.
All right, thank you. And then, of course, Mr. Hurlba owes us $20 for his phone going off. And because of the early discovery, we're going to have to let you go this time. So, this time, I guess. So we have a need for an executive session, and we have negotiations, litigation, personnel, no appointments. So motion to go into executive session by Ms. Terminelli, seconded by Ms. Curran. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.